Good morning. I'm Sharon Klingler. I see a lot of familiar faces, and it's wonderful to see you all again. And welcome to all the new people. All right, so let's get started. How many people here already read the tarot? Okay. How many people have been playing with the tarot? Okay, so you guys also read the tarot. I don't want to disappoint you, but if you play with the tarot, look at it, try to find its meanings, you're reading the tarot. So I still don't have room for everything up here. Remind me to talk about these books. And as a matter of fact, I will be doing one right away. Let me give you handouts, lots of handouts. Okay, so I want to go over this handout with you a little bit. There are some handouts. We're certainly not going to read out loud all of the handouts. So, but there are some that have such salient points that we're going to read a good part of the meat. But whatever we don't really investigate in terms of, if whatever we go over just the bullet points on, I do want you to read the handouts at night just to kind of gather the information again. And we do have a whiteboard, good. Okay, so now the thing that tarot is, when you have a tarot reading, when you're studying tarot, there are 60 bazillion tarot books out there. I mean, and that is not an exaggeration. Whatever the unit for tarot books, it is bazillion. So so you can get a lot of different people's opinions about what things mean. You know, so now a lot of those books are very derivative. A lot of writers will study the tarot and then write a book where it's all the meanings that someone else created. But one of the things that's really important for everyone to do when you're reading tarot or any other type of reading is to, you know, follow your own path. Study all of the stuff that you want to study and then make the decision about what works best for you. That's really the most important thing to do. Don't take anything as law, okay? There's no such thing as a tarot law, except for what I teach you, and then you get whatever it is that you get in this class, it's my job to bring you, you know, I've been reading tarot since I was 14, and I know 10 years is a long time to read. So, did you know, I have a lot of clients at Simon & Schuster, and one of them told me that the biggest buyer of tarot decks are teenage girls. Of the population that buys tarot decks. Now, I don't believe that that's the case with the people who buy tarot decks from Hay House. Because the Hay House people put out new tarot decks all the time. And, you know, they're really created by their Hay House authors. My sister, Sandra, has a new tarot deck coming out this year with Hay House. And it's beautiful. Oh, my gosh, she's been showing me the pictures. So those people, I think they like to bring what they've learned and create a deck. But for the universal weight, that's the biggest population. Anyway, okay, so in terms of the different tarot decks, you can use any tarot deck that you want. But for this class, and everybody has a deck, right? And everybody either has the Rider-Waite or the Hanson-Roberts, the universal weight? Okay, all right. Okay, so that's because those are the images we'll be working with in this class, okay? And those are the images that I had started working with, although I've worked with a number of tarot decks. So study everything and then determine what you guys want to believe and create what you want to believe, okay? And there aren't any laws about doing the readings either. Back in the day, I knew a lot of tarot readers when I used to work at psychic fairs. And some would tell me, well, you have to sleep with your tarot deck under your pillow for a week before you can read with them. They have to be in your energy. I had a very good friend who believed that, not only about his tarot deck, but about all his gemstones. And one week, he bought a rose quartz this size, and he actually slept with it under his pillow when he had a headache. I don't know why my neck hurts so much. So no, you don't have to sleep with your tarot cards to get their energy. And some people say, don't let other people read with your tarot cards. They'll get their energy on it and it's bad for you. Don't believe anything that promotes fear. you know, it's anything that creates fear and limitation and hesitation and doubt, and it doesn't belong to the world of spirit. Spirit doesn't know fear. Spirit doesn't know hesitation or doubt or concern. So use your tarot decks, and if you want to sleep with them because they're pretty, that's you could write in one of those letters for Playboy. But I'm in a mood today. Where is this coming from? I don't know. Okay. So I'm really here to bring you the guidelines that I have found helpful. But whatever I say that you don't feel resonates with you, think about it. I mean, don't just push it away out of hand because you've been doing it differently all these years. But think about it, try it this week, and then go home with whatever you want to do, okay? Now, there's a number of different approaches to tarot reading, okay? And the first one is, the first approach is obviously the studied meanings of the cards. In other words, you could read and become a very excellent tarot reader if you just study the books on what they say on the meanings of the cards and only ever do that. But that's very limiting thing to do, okay? And you can also do part of your reading, or all of your reading could be intuitive perceptions that occur to you while you're doing the cards, okay? The various cards can trigger intuitive perceptions. We're going to be talking about that a little bit more in just a minute here. Okay, then you can do psychometry, okay? Psychometry of the cards. Now, each one of these has a subset, and we're going to be talking about that this morning, too. Psychometry of the cards. And that means you can touch the cards and feel the energy, or you can open yourself to the energy of the cards through other subtle ways, okay? And we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's see, do we have psychometry coming up? Yes. Okay. All right. Okay, and then you could do it by the emotional, okay. I'm gonna put the subsets here just for organization. And I didn't do that on my thing, so bear with me. So the intuitive perceptions that you can get A, by what is triggered visually. And B, by and this is actually by components within the card that are triggered. So details that are triggered. Okay. All right. And these can be thematic. And we'll talk more about this when we talk about intuition. Or not. It doesn't have to be thematic. Okay, so psychometry of the cards, you can actually, and we'll be doing this today, you can lay the cards down so they're facing down and you can't see them, and you can touch the cards, touch the unknown card. Everybody knows what psychometry is, right? Psychometry is feeling the vibration of a thing. Okay, so touch an unknown card, which means a card that's face down. Unknown card. Or touch a known or a card that you see. And you could do both of those types of psychometry. Okay? And going back here. And then you have the emotional experience of the card, or the emotional reading of the card. And that too is broken into two things. Okay? You have the feeling of what you see. The feeling of the theme of the card, not the meaning of the theme, but the feeling of the image, the emotional feeling of the image, the card's image, not your psychic image, okay? And then also by opening the heart chakra and letting that, what you perceive, pour into your heart center and getting that level of emotional experiencing. Opening heart chakra. Perception. Okay. All right. And then finally, we have the we read the action or the story of the card. This is essential. This is big. This is a huge part. This one here, action or story of the card. Now, sometimes the action or the story of the card will actually coincide to the meanings that you study. Okay? For instance, I don't remember which sword it was, the one on the boat, and they're traveling. And so a lot of books will tell you this is a card of traveling, and it is a card of traveling. So the action is a card of traveling. I mean, there's more to it than that, and we'll talk about that when we get to that. But the action of the card is the studied meaning. But I'm going to tell you there's a lot of cards that have action in them that aren't indicated or aren't referred to at all by many tarot books, and indeed by all tarot books in some cases. And like the Tower card reversed. The action of that card reversed, I've never seen that meaning in a book, ever. Okay? The Tower card reversed, and we'll talk about the Major Arcana too. We're going to talk about each and every card, okay? But you can write down action, you write the Tower card, because that's the Tower card, because that's very indicative of how action speaks to the meaning. The Tower reversed, and we'll talk about that when we hit the Tower reversed. So what you can do, any one of these exclusively, or any two or any three, but it's really the best way to read cards is to do all of them. Now, I will tell you that I don't usually take time doing this piece, okay? But I will say, when I'm giving a reading and I put a card down and I'm looking at somebody's reading, I will actually have a sense of, I say things like, when I touched that card, I got an image of. Now, the truth of the matter is, it's kind of like a psychometry with the eyes, where you look at that card, and as soon as you look at the card, and so there's a combination of it's kind of a visual psychometry intuition. Okay, so it combines these two different things. And we're going to be doing all of this today. And that's one of the reasons why on the first day of this class, I wanted to teach you all of these different methods. Because except for the first method, for those of you who don't read the cards at all and are totally new, you have five other ways to read the cards here. Okay? And so we're going to be studying the meanings of the cards throughout the week, but you're not going to have the meanings of the cards for all of the cards until the end of Friday. So I want you to have these techniques and practice these techniques so that when you have these experiences, these techniques in your experience, then you don't need to actually know what so-and-so and XYZ says this card means. Okay? And that's an important component. Any questions about that? I want you to feel free to ask any question anytime, okay? Because, except when we're meditating. Because if you have a question, it's very likely that somebody else is going to have a question too. Or that's the very same question, okay? All right. Now, let's give you another handout. And just so you know, at the bottom of all these handouts, it says excerpt from the Sharon Klingler's book, Translation of the Tarot. That book doesn't exist yet. But it's on the to-do list. Okay. All right. Okay, so let's take a look at the chart at the top here. And I'm going to tell you this is not typical of what you will read in most tarot books. Indeed, it's not even reflective of what Arthur Waite says, okay? And the Pictorial Key to the Tarot is the book that I would recommend. I think they have it here. I think they got some. Of course, it doesn't, the new one, this one is from 1970, so it doesn't look like it looks now. But there we go. Yes, it actually has a picture on it, so, okay. So, that's Waite's book, and he's the one that designed the pictures, and there, I find a lot of really good information from Waite, and a lot of I think he's really astute sensitivity about not just the mundane meanings of the cards, the actual, quote, literal meanings of the cards, but the metaphor, and indeed even some of the mystical histories of those images and that type of thing. But I do disagree with him on actually quite a number of things, not all the, I would have to say I'd agree with him on like 85% of his stuff. But this is not Waite's list, okay? And in Waite's book, I think you actually have to read the introduction to find out what, I don't remember where in his book he talks about the suits of traditional cards. There's a lot of astrological implications, and we're going to talk about that first. And the astrological implications of the suits are actually one of the reasons why Waite says that wands are fire. A lot of books say, a lot, maybe every book. And you know what? I'm sorry, but screw every book. Oh, thank you. Bless you. Ah. Relief. And I don't mean that with the disrespect that I obviously stated, but I mean, I think that wands are much more elementally sound and reflective of air, and swords are fire. And the reason that is that, you know, fire is, okay, there are two yang suits and two yin suits, and we'll talk more about that in depth this week. But the yang suits are the ones that look like penises. The sticks and the swords, right? And the yin suits are the ones that look like openings. It's not rocket science. That's not going in translation of the tarot. You guys are privy to that piece of bit of wisdom. Okay, so, but really, now yang is, everybody knows, here knows yin and yang. Yang is the creative force of life, and yin is the receptive force of life, okay? So wands are the mental creative action, okay? Because wands are air. Yes, fire is a yang, is a yang element, absolutely. Indeed, fire is the most yang element. But that doesn't mean, if you look at the swords, there's more destruction implicated in the swords than there is creativity. Now, I will say that destruction and creation are two sides of the same coin. You have to annihilate in order to create, in terms of ending old phases and bringing new ones. Oh, thank you so much, honey. That's just perfect. Yes, thank you, thank you. But mental creativity is through the wands, because that's air. Okay, and when we look at the suits, you'll be able to see that there's wands flying through the air. Wands are trees; they grow into the air. There's air all over the place. Okay, wands. There's guys with wands standing on rooftops. Wands standing on mountaintops. Okay, so they're for the wands. They're all up in the air. Okay, now yes, I've read tarot books that say that wands are fire because they burn. Okay, well, steel makes fire too. You know, steel is a really good source of fire, and clashing steel is a very good source of fire. So that's, you know, that doesn't float my boat in terms of the imagery. The imagery is much more mental with the wands. And so wands are, and he says, I can't remember, but I think he says that cups are diamonds. I can't remember. And he's got the, in terms of the traditional suits, okay, he says that sword, maybe it was swords or diamonds. All of the traditional suits, I only have one, maybe it was the cups and hearts. Because wands and clubs, he said, wands are not clubs to him. Wands might be diamonds to him. Now, think about it. Club is a stick. A wand is a stick. I don't even any grasp how he goes from one to pinnacle or whatever. I mean, the club to the pinnacles or whatever it is. I'm going to have to, on our break, I'll try to find the page it's on and see whatever he does. But there's only one suit matchup that I believe is correct, okay? And then, of course, spades is our metal. Spades are shovels, sharp-edged steel. Is that not a sword? Like, to me, it's like not rocket science. So anyway, and indeed, spades, you know, the ace of spades is the death card. And swords are the only utensil in the tarot that kills you. So it's like, I saw somebody looked curiously why the ace of spades is the death card. Anybody here read with traditional cards? Okay. I don't either. But the ace of spades is the death card because back in merry old ancient England, and I'm thinking around the time of Henry VIII, and it was certainly before the time of Elizabeth, they started playing cards was a only for the really rich. The poor didn't play cards like everybody plays cards now, but you know, the rich really only had the time to play cards. So Henry wanted, it was Henry VIII, because I'm remembering the whole story now. Henry wanted to get more taxes because he was building a new navy. And so they taxed the Ace of Swords out the wazoo. It would be the similar of, you would be able to get the entire deck except for the Ace of, I'm sorry, the Ace of Spades. You'd have to go to the government agency and get one, and they would charge you the tax for that. And it would be like having to go get the Ace of Spades and buy it for $50,000 or something like that in today's money. I mean, it was huge. And they made it illegal for some people to counterfeit the Ace of Spades, but there was good money in counterfeiting the Ace of Spades because you could sell it for half that and make buttloads, right? And so somebody did counterfeit it and he was hung. And that's why the Ace of Spades is the death card, because someone died. I guess that's the reason. But spades and swords, you know, it's pretty apparent to me. Okay, and we'll talk much more about the elemental implications here. But let's take a look. So we have swords and spades and fire, and of course Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. Okay, and Aries. Anybody here in Aries? Okay, Aries, you know, are, and when everybody knows, Aries are very, the initiating card, initiating sign of the zodiac, right? And they're the ones that are the ram, right? Aries is the ram. So butting heads and, you know, swords, element of that. And pentacles are diamonds and earth. And of course, he doesn't have pentacles match diamonds. I am clueless as to why. Because first of all, the shape is very angular visually. But second of all, diamonds are a commodity and coins are a commodity. I mean, sticks aren't going to be worth much value. Maybe swords would be worth some value, but diamonds are a girl's best friend. So, and that's earth. And Capricorn, Taurus, and Virgo, okay? And then wands are clubs, and that's air, Libra, Gemini, Aquarius. And how many people here do astrology? Good girl. How many people here are going to study a little bit of astrology just to know a little bit? Okay, yes, good, excellent. The more you know, and you don't have to do a lot of study. You can just play with it and find out the meanings of the houses and the meanings of the planets. Commercial time. I have a Gemcast kit, which is actually has a natal chart and the astrological chart, and you drop stones, and each stone represents a planet. And just with playing with that, you learn what the planets and the signs mean. Okay, and the houses. Cups equals hearts and water and Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces. Okay, all right. So the astrological implications are usually much more indicative of a person's temperament if you're actually looking at the court cards rather than their sun sign. Just because you have a King of Wands doesn't mean it has to be, their sun sign has to be a Libra, Gemini, or Aquarius, right? Just because you have that's not the case. It's more their temperament. So, and also, not only does it not mean that they have to be that sun sign, because you have to remember, a person's sun sign doesn't determine who they are. My son is an Aquarius, and he has five planets in Capricorn. And I can tell you, he's much more Capricornian than he is Aquarian. So, you know, you could be a sun sign, you could have a Leo sun sign, but your Venus and moon and a rising sign could be like in water, you know, Scorpio or Cancer, whatever. And so you're going to be more watery. You have a more, this person has actually when in astrology, the reader will say, this person's got a lot of water. And so that means there's a lot of emotional energy, psychic energy, intuitive energy, you know, a lot of changes and movement and that type of thing, as opposed to the fire of Leo. So whatever the books out there tell you, this is this person. And also I've read books, and it might even be in weight, but I've read a number of books that have said the king of, like the King of Wands is a fair-haired, red-haired, or a red-haired person, okay? The King of Wands is somebody who's communicative, mindful, contemplative, mentally creative, has a job in communication or travel. You know, if you have to go by the temperament rather than by the actual astrological sign and coloring. I mean, I don't even get why a tarot book would tell you that. If that's the case, then every King of Wands is going to have red hair? No, you know, no. And King of Wands are air, mind, upliftment into mind, expansion, all that Sagittarian type of quality of moving forward. And that's why when you see the ones, you'll see how airy they are. So don't determine coloring of a person by what a card is, no matter what the books tell you. I mean, that means every single professor would have red hair. You know, it's just, unless the professor was totally emotionally emotional. Okay, all right, so any questions about the, yes, Georgia.
Do you know which came first, playing cards or tarot?
I don't know that answer, to be honest with you. I believe it probably was tarot, because in ancient Egypt, and I don't know that it was called tarot, but in ancient Egypt, they did have card games, and the cards had pictures on them. But they were more games. They weren't doing readings, so to speak. Okay, and the cards had a lot of pictures on them. And I don't know when numbers came. Okay, so, but in ancient Egypt, they did have card games. They have been found in the tombs, so, and with pictures. Okay, thank you. Any questions about the astrology and even the temperament, okay? We wanna go, just let's go very quickly here. Everybody got this? Okay. Okay, so let's start. Fire, earth, air, water. Okay, so fire is anybody with a fiery temperament, okay? And it is creativity, but often at a physical level. It's dominance and sometimes war or battles. And high energy, and sometimes angry. Okay. There will be other implications by the swords that we'll talk about when we see the swords. Okay. Fire, earth is thorough. And detailed, and sometimes stubborn, and what else? And often, you know what? Often the careers often coincide with this. So think of fiery careers. That would be a military. Actually, firemen service. Okay, and this could be earth careers, which is actually people like landscaping and excavators, people who actually work in the earth, farmers, that type of thing. But it also could be somebody who's very, very detailed, accounting, you know, that type of thing. Something that's very detailed and somebody has attention to detail. Okay, and air, I gotta get a pen that writes. Where's the purple one? I'll try the purple one here. Oh, that's better. Okay, and so air is, you know, what I like to just call airy, which is my, you know, conceptual, broad thinking, mentally creative. I'm just going to put the creative, but it's mentally creative, and this is not the best descriptive word, but I want to say out there, somebody who's out there, who's thinking broadly enough to have new ideas, not straddled to, you know, somebody who's out there, not out there like in the public eye. I mean, whose mind is out there. Okay, just think of, Sagittarius is out in the sky, out in the heavens, okay? Jupiter, expansive is another one. Okay, and water is emotional, changeable, intuitive, psychic, and sometimes moody. So yes, do study a little bit about astrology so you know about the elements. They will inform your tarot readings a lot. Okay. Any questions about the elements and the signs and the different way? Yes.
How about the examples for air and water in terms of career?
Careers. Okay. Air actually could be a travel agent, somebody who travels a lot for their work. This is literally somebody who goes into the air for their work. But it also could be publishing and teaching. And I don't mean teaching little children. That would not as much be air. It would be teaching like at universities. It would be also teaching adult classes, anything that helps people expand. It's higher mind, higher consciousness, so people who are learning to take their consciousness and express it, and people who teach others to do so as well. Okay, and water careers are, sometimes it can be psychologist, but it not always, because psychology is, a study of the emotions and working with the emotions. So psychology could be in that. It could actually be literally people who work on or near the water, people who are sailors, people who are merchant marines, people who ship things or, work on barges or that type of thing. Lighthouse keepers. I mean, literal, this is very literal too. I mean, it could literally mean you could actually have people who were linemen, people who were the electricians, that type of thing. Okay, yes?
People in service, like nurses
and... Oh, that certainly could be a mix of water and air, and it depends on the type of service. But I would think it would be more water. Water is emotionally caring, okay? Have a big emotional engagement. So yeah, nursing would be that. Doctoring, not. And isn't that sad? Nurses care, doctors don't. And that's not true with every doctor, but it's a general truth. Nurses care, doctors don't. Female doctors care, but some of them don't, actually. Doctoring is much more left brain. That would be more air or Taurus, depending on the type of doctoring, too. Okay. Attorney would probably be Taurus. Let's see, and we find attorneys in the eighth house. So it also could be water, because the eighth house is Scorpio. But attorneys that work with conflict, that are high levels of emotion, that would be the water. And believe it or not, attorneys, although they can be fire too, because fire is, you know, war, they do battle. So it depends on if they're civil attorneys, corporate attorneys. Corporate attorneys could be just, you know, earth. It all depends on the temperament, the indicators of what you have to emotionally and psychologically engage with when you do the job. Does that make sense to everybody? Mm-hmm. So you can see how a divorce attorney could be water or fire, a law attorney in terms of suits, like, what is it called when it's, you know, like murder, crimes, that could be, huh? Criminal, thank you, duh. Okay, a criminal attorney could be Taurus or fire. So it depends on the type of the crime, you know, and the type of the attorney. So I don't mean to sound ambivalent, but it's so based on the temperament of the individual and the temperament of the career. Okay, for instance, you could have somebody who, in terms of the court cards, and we're going to be talking about the court cards a little later this week, but since this talks about the court cards and the fair-haired person and all of that, you could have somebody who is has a temperament of being very airy, very mental, very conceptual, very broad thinking. Okay, but this person, say that it's a man, so I can use the right gender of the card, but say this man is right now focused in a phase in his life. I'm starting a new business. It's all about my business. I'm working 14 hours a day. It's all about my business. Where's my business going? Where's my business going? So this airy person who might usually be the King of Wands would in this phase be the King of Pentacles. Do you see? So it will also talk about the temperament of the phase that an individual is in, if their focus is exceptionally singular, okay? So a King of Wands, a King of Cups, a very emotional guy, very family-oriented guy, but starting a new business would be and focus like that would be the King of Pentacles during this phase. Any questions or confusion about that? It's a little hard to take all at once, but the more you study the different temperaments of the air and the water and the signs, that is a big component, a bigger component than I think even Arthur Waite brought to bear in his book. And though we are going to be taking a look at the Pentacles later this afternoon, we're going to do each day this, and if you have your program, you'll see that each day we're going to be doing one suit in depth, okay? So bring all your handouts back each day, okay? Because we'll be looking at the different handouts each day, all right? Mm-hmm. So does everybody have a handout? Okay, excellent. All right, so let's take a look at these are the yin suits, the receiving suits. Now this doesn't mean there isn't action in these suits, okay? You can have a yin suit and still have yin activities, okay? So let's look at the cups. The suit of cups corresponds to the qualities of water and the signs Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. The key words for the cups, and you can really kind of see this in the cards, the thematically, home, family, relationships, emotions, devotion, and awakening to spirit. Other qualities are intuition, family interaction, expectation, higher aspects of the heart, like it's kind of like taking your heart and lifting it to the heart of your spirit here. Blending the physical with the spiritual, conditions of the heart, softer emotions, sensitivity, emotions regarding the family and home, and inner self-discovery. It's all emotional, spiritual, inner. Yin. It's yin, right? Okay. Pentacles aren't as yin, but they are yin, but we'll talk about those later this afternoon. But I want you to notice, as we're looking at this image, that there seems to be, and we'll talk more about the cups, but there seems to be an evolution of sorts through these cards. Oh my goodness, the aces aren't on this. Oh, that's right, there wasn't room. Everybody, the ace of each suit is a hand holding that suit. Okay, so there's a hand holding the sword, a hand holding a cup, a hand holding a pentacle. hand-holding a wand, okay? So, and we'll see, be seeing them later. Okay, so looking down at the pentacles, they are the astrological qualities of Earth, and the signs are Capricorn, Taurus, and Virgo. And the key words are money, security, material comfort, conservativeness, career, achievement, dependability, occupation, charity, security of the home, daily ability, daily work, finances, abundance, prosperity on a whole bunch of different levels, self-confidence, expression through activity, and just personal expression, creative expression, appreciation from others, reputation, possessiveness, the ability to share, understanding laws of abundance. There's a lot of money stuff with the pentacles, obviously. But I'm not just talking about you're getting a new job. Yes, there are cards that say you're getting a new job, but there's lots of psychological issues, as you can see. Abundance, poverty, attitude towards work, enthusiasm or lack of enthusiasm, personal pride, self-attainment, okay? Being bound by a narrow focus, entrepreneurial abilities, partnerships, and creativity in business. So there's a lot of actual business energy, but a lot of psychological connection to financial issues and that type of thing. So you're going to get pentacles not only to show this job is coming, you're getting a raise, you're not getting a raise, you're spending money in the home, you're spending money on your workplace. We'll go through all of that this afternoon, or maybe even in just a little bit. But there's always the psychological implications of what a person feels about money, what a person, people's security issues. And that's actually a big thing that's shown in the pentacles. So security issues is a major important thing. All right. And I'm going to hand out, just like I hand, you see the two different things here. I'm going to hand out a description of the keywords for the minor arcana. Okay, and you can refer to this as we're doing readings in the afternoon. We're going to study most of the morning and maybe a little bit into the afternoon if we don't get through all that we're supposed to study, and then we're going to be doing readings for each other. So I'm going to give you the keywords for all of the minor arcana here, and I'm going to be giving you some blanks. Now these are all the minor arcana, and then I'm going to give you some blanks of that grid, and actually there's enough for you to take two each. You can take two each. So, not of the blank grid. Take two each, and because you can take notes now, and for the most part in this keyword handout that I handed out to you first are the meanings of the cards in the upright position, okay? And you know what, if you want to read all the cards in the upright position, I know a tarot reader in Cleveland, haven't seen her for a long time, but she used to turn every card upright. And while I think that kind of diminishes all of the layers that you can bring to a reading, because the upside down cards have so many different meanings of their own, just upside down. Sometimes a card will change, many of the cards will change polarities. I mean, they'll just be opposite of what they mean upright. But there's actually multiple layers to upside down cards. But I do have to say that this woman in Cleveland is a great reader. So, you know, use what works best for you, okay? Use what works best for you. So this grid that you have in front of you that says keywords with the words filled in are my keywords for each of the cards, just so that you can have kind of like a cheat sheet as you're doing readings and when you're practicing. These aren't clearly the description of each card and all of the level of meanings, but these are just keywords, okay? And then you can use the blank form to take any notes or put down any extra words that come up as we're talking about it, or that you feel are for you. And you can also use one of the blank grids to write the reversed meanings, because we will be going over all of the reversed meanings as well.